Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 1 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we're coming to you from today's international headquarters of PHCC, which is Gastonia, North Carolina, today, and looking forward to having some great discussions in the coming weeks and months. We're doing this podcast because we believe in telling the incredible stories of our members, chapters, events, and partners from all over the country that make PHCC rock. Today, we're highlighting another great part of PHCC. We have Mark Ingrao with us. Mark is the new CEO of the PHCC National Association and is zooming in with us from Falls Church, Virginia. Mark, it's great to have you on, and welcome to PHCC Rocks.
Well, thanks, Joel. It's really great to be here and be your first guest on your show, and I'm looking forward to hearing these on a regular basis going forward. And thank you for this idea of putting this together, because I think this is another great opportunity to communicate with our members.
Yeah, you know, it really is. I think hopefully it'll catch on, and you know, there's opportunities like this. I think in our businesses and other organizations, in our organization, communication is always key. And I think often we don't focus enough on telling the fun and good stories about the successes that that we have all over the country and the different parts of our organization. And you know, to me, it's all about people. It's all about their stories, and everybody we deal with has a personal story that is amazing, and those stories added up together really make the association what it is. And so I'm excited to have you as the first guest. You know, especially, you know, it's a great opportunity to start in a new direction, expanding on what's already happened with the association the last you know, through our history, and then the last 4, 5, 6 years, and then you know, going forward in a new direction and new exciting times. And so we're really glad to have you as the first guest. It's
Thank you, and
if we don't do a good job, this will be the last one. So just there's no pressure on us. It's a great
no time. No pressure.
So listen, let's
it's all gonna be on you.
Oh, it is. Now we can edit we can edit a little bit, but anyway, so listen, tell me, you know, let's start off in a great direction. Tell me about yourself and maybe some background and how you ended up at PHCC National.
Sure. Well, as you know, I'm the son of a carpenter, and I come to the trades naturally, and I've been drawn to them all my life. In fact, when I was in high school and I worked for my father, he owned a construction company. He built high-rise commercial multifamily. So I worked on the job site with him, and I remember my junior year, he came to me and said, "Hey, what college are you applying to?" And I said, "I'm not applying to college, Dad. I'm going to be a carpenter like you." And he said, No. You're going to go get an education. And then if you want to come back into the trades, that's great. But you're going to go get an education. I did. And what happened in my career was I ended up actually representing trades along the way. So I represented those people that built and ran apartment buildings for a while. I was the chief lobbyist for them, the National Apartment Association. Then I went on to represent the home building industry and represented the builders there. So I really come to this naturally, and I really really love it. My background is a little bit of HR, a little bit of lobbying. I was a lobbyist for a number of years, and I have about 20 years of association management work. So being at the at this association was something that was attractive to me when I saw it, and I was drawn to it because I really love to work for an association because you work for members. And I think that's where, you know, the rubber meets the road in an association, the members. So I love serving members, being a servant leader, and this is a great way to do it, being in this association.
That's great. You know, I love hearing the stories about how people get to where they are. And my my father's conversation was after my freshman year at NC State, when I think I had a combined GPA of like 1.4, and he explained to me that summer how to focus and work hard. So I think we all as sons growing up get to have some of those conversations if we're lucky. And
I had that same conversation with my father too, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's funny how that got straightened out. And, you know, and things repeat themselves. I've had that conversation with my son too, but anyway, we're getting sidetracked if we're not careful. But, you know, that is a good story of a lot of our members. You know, they had to get straightened out or put on a path sometime in their history. That's great. You know, it's got to getting started in a new job has got to be an exciting time for you. I know it is for me with the opportunities. Give us some of your thoughts on what you've learned over the last month getting started, you know, shadowing Michael Kopp and then the staff, you know, getting a chance to meet the staff at PHCC National.
Well, first of all, I have to take this opportunity and thank you and the search committee for selecting me for this position, because again, it was something that was very exciting to me, and I got the call. I was very, very pleased that y'all had selected me. And I would say this about this association. It is very sound and very well run. I think Michael Kopp did a phenomenal job organizing this organization. Its processes are, I would say, best practices. And the culture here, we talk about the staff. Staff is very professional, and they are very, very in tune to what the members want. So they're member-centric, and they actually talk about the members as being a family. And that also is something that was attractive to me coming into this role. Because when I met with you in the search committee, you all were second, third, fourth generation in the company, in your business. And for me, that was very attractive that we have people that really are, born and bred in this association and understand the value of the association and the loyalty to the association and vice versa. So I think this association is in very good shape. And we're going to continue that going forward.
That's great. Yeah. I think your point on the people and the second, third generation and that family atmosphere is what's always drawn me to PHCC. And one of the reasons it makes it so easy to communicate with members all across the country and the staff. And so, it is a huge, valuable part of who we are. So I appreciate that for sure. And I know our state associations and contractors all across the country appreciate recognizing that. I thought the timing for you coming in to PHCC was perfect. If we look at it, what could happen in a year's time, to be able to come into the association and work for a month or so and then go to Connect in Kansas City and be able to see us up close to actually see what's happening and what that means instead of just hearing about it. So give us some thoughts on what you learned.
Yeah, so it definitely was best practices in terms of coming in and shadowing Michael for a month and a half and then going to Connect and seeing, I think we had the benefit of people coming out of COVID and just really being energized and wanting to be together. So I did see that family atmosphere, and I saw the passion for the industry and the organization, and quite frankly, each other. I also liked like the idea of the whole family environment that permeated that particular event. People brought their spouses, and I thought that was great. I got to see sons of fathers that were in the industry. So I think coming out of Connect, we're going to be in much better shape for the next Connect, which will be obviously in Charlotte next year in your great state of North Carolina.
There you go.
But coming out of Connect, I just think it was a great way of introducing me to the members. I really learned a lot about the members and seeing them in action, talking to them and being with them. It was really a really good timing for me. And I think you all did a great job with best practices there.
Yeah, thank you. I had never been to Kansas City, and I was a little stunned. I had no idea how big Kansas City was, how beautiful it was. I loved it, the downtown area with the market and then the trolley mm-hmm. car and everything. It was just a great experience. And then I spent some time in the National World War One museums there, and that was just an amazing thing to witness, that museum. And so we really enjoyed that. And I just really enjoyed that a lot. So I thought it was a great place to hold one of those events. So what do you think are maybe moving forward? I know this is a huge job that you've undertaken. What do you think are your some of the – and getting started on something like that is, I think, always delicate. What do you see as maybe some main objectives in the first, say, 60, 90 days?
So with any organization, when a new exec starts, the exec should really just kind of take in the culture and take in I call it a learning and listening tour. So, and that means every aspect of the organization. So fortunately at Connect, I had an opportunity to meet up with a number of our different groups and our segments, right? Our ESGs and AEC, the auxiliary. So I really got a chance to really take it all in. So the first 60 or 90 days, Joel, I'm going to listen and learn. I'm going to try to understand the culture, understand why people are members here, and really just soak it all in. And then after that, start laying out a plan for, and this will be really fortunate, again, the timing couldn't be better, is that we're gonna go into our strategic planning session. And so coming out of that, then I'll really be able to identify a vision and some objectives that we can work on together to move the association forward. And in your words, win, right? We want to be the winning contractor, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about the next 60 to 90 days, meeting with the staff, meeting with our partners, meeting quite honestly with our competitors. You know, what do people say about us out in the market? And then taking all that in and being able to develop a plan on how to move forward.
That's great. I think perspective, because the first 90 days are huge. You know, you either get off on the right foot or you don't. And we're excited to make sure that we help you do that too. I know, the executive committee and the board and everybody's really working hard to make sure. And I know the staff is, they're incredible. So we're excited about that. And I'm glad you brought up the strategic plan. You know, I was lucky enough, and a lot of us were, to be in that strategic plan 5 years ago. And, you know, at the time I wasn't sure when we walked out of there, how important it was going to be to lay out the future. But the way the staff used that document to update us continuously and track what the progress we were making or where we were off base is really, like you talked about earlier, best practices that we can use in our businesses too. We need to take 100%. That and, you know, take that. And as contractors, we're really, you know, bad sometimes about putting in place objectives like that. But it really has made a difference and has pushed the board, you know, on a volunteer organization like PHCC, you know, national or the state level. If you don't have a plan like that, you lose so much knowledge year to year, quarter to quarter on what you're trying to do, that you just you backtrack all the time. And so just I'm very excited in the position that we're in to be able to do this again with a new, you know, a new CEO and take that existing history and, you know, take some of the things, and like we talked about, that we're going to have to tweak them. You know, there's some things that are working really well that we're going to have to tweak, and then, you know, find new courses like this business intelligence conversation that we've been having, and the board just set up some money to put money aside to drive that. And that, you want to talk about that opportunity in a minute?
Well, sure. And you know, let me just say, I'll go back to the strategic plan. You're absolutely right. A strategic plan should never end. Strategic plan is a document that just is living and just keeps morphing over time. So, you know, the last 5-year strategic plan that you all put together, there are so many great objectives and tasks that came out of that now they're operational. So you take those off the list, but there are others that are going to morph a little bit, where you're going to change, and then you're going to add some, like this business intelligence that you talked about, which was, I think, is going to be a game changer for our association. It will provide our members with the information they need to be that contractor of choice, right? To be that little bit more competitive than their competition. And so this business intelligence department, where the whole concept is about pulling in information, pulling in data that we already have. A lot of this already resides in our database, in our chapters. Pull it in, synthesize it, and push it back out to our members in a way that they can use that to be very competitive and to be ahead of the curve. You know, I like to look at it as, instead of being reactive with information, we're going to be proactive with resources. And that's a really good way to look at it, right? Yeah. And so we're going to stand that unit up, and it's going to take some time. This isn't going to happen overnight, but we're going to stand that unit up, and we're going to come out with some high level reporting that will hopefully be able to then synthesize it back down to the zone level or even the state level. And then give those contractors the information they need to be successful and be the contractor of choice. So I'm really excited about it. And then, of course, out of the strategic plan, well, I think a couple other topics we're going to talk about are membership. Membership is key to any membership organization. We want to talk about that in the context of workforce development. We need to draw in more diverse candidates, more members, more of those people that don't know about the trades, because the trades is a great living, and we need to be able to tell that story going forward. So, and then the third piece of that strategic plan is our governance. And any organization that has, you know, good governance can pivot, can be flexible for its members. So we're going to look at doing some tweaks there. And I think between those three hot topics and maybe one or two more, our strategic plan will really push us into the next 5 years and just make us that contractor and that association set above anybody else.
I think after listening to all that, I think I need to get some rest. I think we're gonna, before we go to New Orleans, I think I better get some rest.
Yeah, you're going to need it. We're going to be running hard.
Better get some sleep. That's exciting. I always think, we talked about your first 90 days and then some of the strategic planning. If you had a crystal ball, and what would you want our members, if you can, to be thinking and saying about our progress maybe this time next year? What would you want them to be able to say about that?
Well, I think one of the things we want to be able to say is that we've communicated in a very effective way, right? And that's not just our members, that's the chapters, that's all our ESGs, that's everybody in our family. Communication is key. So at the end of the year, I'd love for them to say, you know what? That was really great year of communication, great year of transparency. We learned so much about what the association can do for us. So I think that's one thing. Second thing is this whole theme of positive leadership. The country's been so divided for so long, and we need to move forward in a very positive way. And I think your theme of positive leadership is something I think is going to resonate with our members. And I'd like to see them say, yeah, this was a real positive year. And look back on that. It was really a good year. It was good for me financially. It was good for me in terms of growing my business. Good for me in meeting other members and just learning best practices about our association so that I can be the best I can be. And of course, looking at our strategic plan, hoping we want to definitely plan on membership being up. We want to make sure this business information is being used appropriately. So make sure we put that out there in a format that people can use. And let's not forget our advocacy. If it weren't for our advocacy, we wouldn't be in a position we're in. So making sure that people look at the advocacy as a resource and that they see that as something that's really beneficial for them, because that's kind of like the silent value of membership. You don't see it going on, but let me tell you, it's going on behind the scenes, and thank God it is.
It's one of those things that if it wasn't there, what kind of shape would we be in as contractors? And I think you're exactly right. It is it's one of those things that we take for granted. But if we didn't have that week to week and day to day, we would be in a lot worse position. That's for sure.
Let me also add the regulations too. I don't want to leave
Chuck
out the regulatory.
White, talk about Chuck White. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let's clap for Chuck every time. That's right. good grief. Yeah, and once something becomes a law, then it goes into being actually the rules and what actually is going to happen on that regulation side. That may be actually more important than all the conversations we have with the legislators. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
You spoke about Connect and positive leadership, and there was a couple things that happen at Connect. And you talked about how we look, diversity, and those kind of things. And I thought it was a historic Connect in a lot of ways, coming out of the pandemic, but then also some of the awards. We had a 91-year-old gentleman from Virginia who won Contractor of the Year, and he happened to be an African American. And I thought, seeing him, 91-year-old gentleman at the event, getting up on stage, and when I sat down and talked to him for about 30, 45 minutes myself, I walked away going, he's got more energy than I do. And I just, I thought that was amazing. And then maybe more importantly, I know when we were at the awards and we found out that a female contestant had won the air conditioning apprentice of the year, and just seeing that energy and feeling that energy coming out of the pandemic was an amazing transformation. And what I've seen over the last 10 years of, maybe going to Connect and it not being just not seeing those kind of outcomes. And it really, I thought more exciting to me was it was not the people in the room were like, yeah, okay. It was just a cool thing to see overall. I just enjoyed that. And then John Gordon, one of my other favorite parts was seeing John Gordon speak. I love John Gordon. And you mentioned it a minute ago, but I think there's a real opportunity now, especially with the pandemic and everything. And, you're right. We've had some things happen here this week with our company that are just driven by really outside forces of how people see the world, and they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to do it. So, focusing on that, his positive message and hopefully taking that out is something that I do want to focus on, so that next year we're in Connect in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the great state of North Carolina. That was for all you guys out there that are ribbing me about that. But that we'll be able to look back and say, we really did help our contractor members and the staff and our partners, you know, develop a better positive outlook overall, and no matter what happens, so that we can get up every day and look at the world that way. So hopefully we can accomplish some of that along the way. And so you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would say, I never heard John Gordon. So to hear him speak and then I have his book, I think he's right on in terms of positive leadership, building positive teams. I think things like this podcast and people hearing from you, our president, and hearing about everything that's going on in the association and the opportunity for us to kind of reach out and go on like a listening tour, like I mentioned before. But you know, I think it's important for you and I, and I know we're going to do a lot of traveling together, to go out and meet with the chapters and find out what are their pain points? How can we help at the national to address those pain points? And so, I think all of that's a very positive look forward. I know when I met with the AEC, I said to them, look, I'm one of you. I used to run a state or a regional chapter. So I know what it's like to be part of a federation. I know what it's like to have national on top. And so those two, you know, the top of that funnel and the bottom of that funnel need to come together and talk about how together we move this industry forward. So I'm really looking forward to meeting the chapters and going out and talking to them. And again, in a very positive way, how can we move this association forward? So now I think John Gordon, I think you were smart in asking him to come and speak. And I think he really resonated with people.
You know, he did. I was already sold. So I'm probably a
bad, well, yeah, you're a disciple
gauge.
Already.
I'm probably a bad gauge of that. I did ask five or six people, said, well, what did you think about that? And then I was like, that's perfect. But you know, they were all enjoyed. I think everybody enjoyed it. And so, yeah, it was a good part of the event, I thought. So, and hopefully looking for more of that kind of stuff going forward. So it was great to see him there. So listen, I like to, let's switch gears a minute. We've been talking PHCC National. People are probably already going, oh my God, these guys are eat up with PHCC National, which we should be. But I like to switch gears and let's talk about a couple of different things. Tell us maybe something that nobody knows about you that they may be shocked or interested in hearing.
Well, you know about this, I think. I think I've shared this with you. But so for all of you out there that are football fans, I happen to be one of the members of the chain gang for the Washington football team. And that actually started with my father back in 1958. He was approached about being on the chain gang. And he accepted that. He served for 25 years. And then my brother got out of college and he served. And then I got out of college and I've been doing it since 1982. So I'm on the sidelines every game, you know, suffering through right now that team. Oh, my God. I was there during the Gibbs years.
But, well, that's good times.
Yeah, those are my memory's getting hard. You know, it's hard for me to remember those things. So, but that's something I do every Sunday when they're at home. And it's kind of cool.
That is definitely a unique opportunity. And I think, you know, fitting in with our third generation businesses. I mean, second, third, that's a really tie-in that I think people, you know, will appreciate, except for the Washington, you know, team and all that. I mean, I'm an NC State grad, so I can understand the whole football sympathy, my goodness. But and then I grew up a LA Rams fan with the Youngblood brothers and all that, and loved that. But we would lose to Dallas all the time, and you know, Jeremiah Wolfe, I don't want to hear about that. But anyway, you know, I can commiserate with those, but that's an incredible story. There's a lot of people that would love to be able to do that. I thought your John Gibbs comments to me. Could you tell about that, about how good he was on the sidelines all the time?
Joe Gibbs.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. No. That's all right. Now we know.
I try not to keep up with the coaches of the Washington. Anyway.
Yeah. So one of the things was very impressive to me when he was the coach was honestly, the man never said a curse word on the sidelines. And if you've been on the sidelines with a bunch of football players,
yeah,
it's hard to find words that aren't curse words. So it was just watching his leadership. You could just tell that people just gravitated to him and listened to him when he talked. And they were in awe. The players were in awe of him. They really were. Now, all his other coaches, you know, they were all over the place, but Joe Gibbs never said a curse word on the sidelines. He'd always just, you know, pull somebody aside. And most of his comments were very positive. You know, he would say, you know, get him next time or whatever, but he was a great leader on the sidelines. And
We can all learn from that, can't we?
We can all learn from that. And I will tell you, I think Ron Rivera, not to get down into the Washington football team a lot, but Ron Rivera is cut from the same cloth.
Oh, yeah.
Never curses, never gets angry, you know, and so it's nice to see somebody on the sidelines. And again, the players respect him. So yeah,
being the Carolina Panthers area, we've always heard that about Rivera, that he's the same kind of
great guy.
So congrats on that. I hope you're able to keep that up. And we're going to start scheduling meetings on Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock with PHCC. Sorry. But anyway,
you'll be all by yourself.
Perfect. All right, so let's get another couple of things. My favorite dessert is there's a restaurant. There's a place here, an ice cream shop. It's called Tony's Ice Cream. And they have milkshakes, and they're world famous. Okay, it's the best milkshakes in the world. And so chocolate milkshakes from Tony's is about half of my problem on my weight loss that I'm on. But what's your favorite dessert and why?
Well, I'm a chocoholic. I'm actually a sweetaholic. I'll eat anything, right? So I got to tell you, that milkshake sounds good right now.
Oh, it's good.
So I like any gelato. I'm Italian, so I love gelato from anywhere. And I went to Italy, been to Italy 6 times, and I've eaten gelato every day when I go to Italy. Favorite ice cream is probably Jerry Garcia. Love Jerry Garcia ice cream.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Good stuff.
There you go.
And again, anything chocolate. So just, you know, anything chocolate works for me.
All right. That's good info. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So the other thing is favorite childhood memory.
Well, that's a tough one. Because I have so many great. Now, I had parents that were married for 42 years and they were just the best role models you could have. And both of them unfortunately passed away of cancer within 3 years of each other. But, you know, I'd have to say my entire childhood, I had a great childhood. My parents were, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's a saint, but they were great parents. They made sure we were well-educated, well-fed, well cared for. So I just have to say kind of my entire childhood, it was just great times.
That's good. Well, we are so fortunate here in so many ways. I tell you, I just thought one of mine that popped in my head when you were talking was, and we were so fortunate too, my brother and I, with our parents, but we used to go to the beach with my parents, and I was fairly young, and my dad would get up a lot of mornings and go to Krispy Kreme donuts. Do you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, and bring donuts. And so, you know, he went, you know, and then I think one morning, I'm sure it was my brother, not me, complained about the donuts or something. I don't know. And so the next morning he gets up and my father was a raspberry fanatic and nobody else liked raspberry. And so he comes back from Krispy Kreme donuts and we all jump up and we open up and he got all raspberry donuts. It was the best. And so later we would just give him grief for 20 years about you getting raspberry, we're having raspberry. And so he would, you know, he was just the best family, you know, one of those stories that just sticks with you. So it's a great family memory about him and his raspberries. But he would order anywhere we went later, he would go, "Do you have raspberry?" You know, he would just always keep going with that. So it was always, those kind of things are good.
Okay, I'll make sure I have raspberry donuts for you next time I see you.
Perfect. That's awesome. all right, maybe last kind of different question is, and I really like this question as I've gotten older. You know, with talking with a lot of people, talk about a book you've read and the one maybe or something you'd recommend to somebody.
Yeah, I would actually, I'm actually going to give you a series of books that I read. I don't know if you're familiar with Bill O'Reilly.
Oh yeah.
And so he's written a whole series of books on killing, you know, killing Jesus, killing Lincoln, killing Kennedy, killing the rising sun. I've read every one of them.
Yeah, I've got them on my shelf. They're incredible. Yeah.
He's an incredible writer, you know, forget about politics, but he's a great writer and he has a great, researcher named Martin Dugart. And what he does is, for instance, Killing the Rising Sun is when we beat Japan in the war. He sent Dugart over for 2 years to interview the families of all the generals so that they could give a perspective of what the families were thinking and what the generals were thinking during the war. So the book went back and forth, right? It talked about what the U.S. was doing and what Japan was doing, back and forth and back and forth. And that's the way every one of his books is written.
Yeah.
And so I love that series of books. And I can't wait for the next one to come out. I read every one of them.
Yeah, I think I love all those kind of books. You get so many different perspectives that will apply to what's going on in the world today or in your life to get, you know, some of these things that we think are short term that really aren't, you know, we can look at long term perspectives and then give it. He does do an incredible job giving a different personal perspective of what's happening in those books. And it's almost all his books are on things that historically we think we already know about. And
no, and we don't. Yeah, I learned really, so much from them. Yeah.
Every time. Yeah, that's great. That's yeah. really good. Was that it, or that's the one? Okay, that was the series. I just want to make
that
sure.
That was the series.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's a big series. That's perfect. Okay, so let's reel it back in. So you know, people are tired of hearing about ice cream and all that kind of stuff and raspberries. You know, I know I've talked a lot. I did at Connect and in my past, you know, some of the history with myself about how important. You know, I think we feel the state associations are in their successes, how important that is, you know, in reality to our success at national. You know, I do firmly believe that if our state associations are not highly successful and see us as a partner to make them successful, that we're really going to struggle. And so just, you know, can you maybe talk about that? And I'm going to ask you a series of questions on that. First, in your opinion, from what you've seen at Connect and so far, which state—I can't even say it without laughing—which state executive?
We're putting you on the spot here, huh?
Which state executive would you say is the smartest and most welcoming? I'm just kidding.
You are just kidding.
Do not answer that question. But you know, all kidding.
I have a series of them, by the way.
You know, just kidding. You know, let's talk about our mission to aid the state associations and and you know how we see that important, how important that is to help them.
Yeah, so I'm going to use a little bit of my experience, Joel. You know, I used to run an association. I will call it down the federation chain, if you will. So yeah, I was the regional guy. We had a state guy. We had a state chapter, and we had, of course, the national. So come out of a federation world. And I will tell you, the federations is where the rubber meets the road. It's where we get our members. It's where we have, you know, we have products and services for our members. Sure, national can develop some of those. But it's the states and the locals that are really touching our members day in and day out, and they need to be a part of what we do at National. So whether it's a new initiative, we need to have them part of that discussion of, okay, is this going to be a value add to the membership? Are you going to be able to pull this off? Are you going to be able to, you know, help our members? And if it's not, then we ought to really think long and hard whether we should do it or not, because again, those chapters are going to be our, you know, our eyes and ears on the ground. And it is just an extension of what's happening here at National and vice versa, right? And then also we ought to include them in our strat plan process. And I know we're going to have them at the table because they're going to have perspectives that we are not going to have at National.
Oh yeah.
And so
yeah, they're on the front lines. They're
on the front lines. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can remember being on the front lines and quite honestly, it's great to know that your national is there behind you, supporting you 100%. You don't ever want to get in cross purposes with your national, right? Because then you're sending mixed messages to your membership. So I would say to you that you know, for me, it's all about the chapters have to you know, be our frontline people. And I said that to them when I was at Connect, Joel. I went and met with the AAC and said, look, I'm one of you. Let's make this work. Let's work together. There's no reason we can't. I know the struggles you're going through. Let me share you the struggles that we're going through, and let's resolve this and find a solution to this together.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, being together.
Yeah, I really do. You know, I think as a contractor, you know, I kind of equate it to us running our businesses and not listening to our field people on problems or our customers, you know, us not listening to our customers and then us making all kind of decisions on how to do things or improve things. And we've not really asked the people that know. And,
right.
And so I think that's really good to hear that, and I know that's one of our tenets as an association since I've been involved. But you know, like any other organization, you go through periods where that's really good and periods where it's loose, and then you know, and it's got to be in both directions. I'm really hoping that in the coming months we'll continue to work on you know, this two-way communication. I think we need to really get the states to tell us what they need, and I think we struggle. I know. In my experience at the state level, we've really struggled when we're asked that question, okay, what do we need from National? And a lot of times it's just dead silence. We don't hear specifics. And then later there's questions about why we didn't do something, but we didn't know. And so I think we really need to keep asking the right questions at the right time, give open feedback, you know, and keep putting ourselves in a position where we build trust. You know, one of John Gordon's main tenets is building trust.
So that you can
have tough conversations when you need to. And I think, you know, just like in our business or in your family, you got to work on those relationships all the time everybody's got to know you love them and that everything you're doing comes from love and that you're trying to help each other win at a higher level through a lot of positives and leadership. And so then when it gets tough, you've built this loyalty and trust that you can handle anything together. And I think that's right. I've seen that in huge ways and with some parts of our association. And then I see in others that we struggle. But that's it. It's like any other family or any other business. It's
exactly.
And it's exactly. And you're never finished with it. You know, you're constantly having to address it and keep working. So that's great to hear. Anything else? Anything you want to add?
Well, it's a relationship, right? This needs to be a relationship and not, you know, not, and to your point, a two-way street. It can't just be a one-way relationship. So yeah, I definitely think that our chapters are going to be key in that. And I can't agree with you more on what you just said.
So. Yeah, great. So listen, we've talked a lot. I've got one other, I guess, question that we had really talked about. And, you know, at Connect, it really struck me. I actually rewrote the entire speech during the week at Connect because I think what I was going to talk about was going to fall flat, but I just really listened a lot during that week. And one of the things that struck me was just thinking about the incredible legacy that we've developed, you know, being part of the oldest trade association in the country, you know, by dating back to, you know, the late 1800s. You know, and I kind of relate to it. Our business was founded in 1927, and I thought it's a blessing, you know, for us to be that old. And so I think PHCC has a special place in my heart because of that age. But then there's days when it's a curse that we're that old. You know, it has huge advantages. And then, you know, we'll uncover something at GSM. And I'm going, oh, we've been doing that since 1965. Well, that's awesome, you know. And so it's a battle. And so I think we need to one of the reasons I talked about it is I think we need to embrace that it's a blessing and it's a curse. And we've got to constantly make sure that we're in that tug of war. Being here a month or so, you know, getting your feet under you, going to Connect, you know, how do you think we should use that as an advantage going forward, you know?
Well, yeah, I think it's a blessing, and I wouldn't use curse. I'd say challenge.
Well, you don't run a contracting business and know some of the stuff I'm talking about. You're exactly right. I shouldn't have said curse. It's like my, you know, Hunter has talked about turning the aircraft carrier, and I used to say at GSM, we're going to turn the Titanic, and my brother finally said, will you pick another ship? But anyway, same kind of thing.
Yeah, so, yeah. That one sunk.
Yeah, that's right. Don't use the Titanic. But anyway, I like Hunter's. Well, I like Hunter and the aircraft carrier, and he's right. It's time. So it's good.
It is time. Yeah. And we're sailing off into the wind so we can launch our planes. But, you know, let's talk about the association's age for a minute, because I actually think it is a blessing. Because think about what's happened. We're the oldest trade association in America, right? And look, and because we're the oldest trade association in America, we obviously morphed. We met the challenges head on. We pivoted. We changed. And we're still here.
Yeah.
We're still here. So I think the fact that we have been here for so long, we have a history of morphing and changing with the times, is a great story.
Sure it is.
So that's how you talk about the challenge in a positive way,
that's
right?
Exactly
that's
right.
Our challenge. So I definitely see that using that opportunity to morph and to grow and to be flexible. Now we need to take on the new challenge of, okay, how do we bring the younger generation in? How do we bring more diverse generation into our ranks? How do we listen to people who heretofore we haven't listened to and make sure that we have all the people at the table? Because with more diverse conversations, you're going to get to the right answer and everybody is going to leave winning. And if they don't get everything they want and they get something they want, that's called compromise. If everybody leaves the table not satisfied, that's a good compromise. But my point here is I think we use that history to our advantage by saying we have taken on the challenges. We have, you know, we have morphed ourselves when we needed to morph. You know, look at the two recessions and look, and we're still here, right? So it is clearly, I think, a positive that we have been here for so long. And those challenges that we're going to meet, and we are going to meet them, we're going to use the experience we've had over, you know, how many hundreds of years, right, since 1883. We're going to use that experience to help us move forward again. So blessing and a challenge. And I would say,
I will never use the word curse again when I'm talking about that. But you know, I think that's so, I think you're so accurate on that. Cause I do remember when the pandemic started, you know, having some conversation of the fear that we, you know, we may lose half our members. And, you know, you look at that and then you say how our education foundation got started. You know, we had a couple of contractors and you talk about change in the future. Our, our current situation with how successful the foundation has been compared to when we started that, I mean, with zero, it's amazing. We've transformed the industry and transformed for our members and, you know, with the apprenticeship programs and everything we're doing. So that is great information. And I think, that's the kind of attitude we need going forward to help all of our contractors see a better future and all of our partners and the association. That's why we're here. That's why we're here to pull together and make a brighter future. So it's great. Great.
Well, out of crisis comes entrepreneurship, comes innovation, you know, and we're going to have that. We're going to have opportunities where we're going to be challenged. And from that, we've got to rise above it. And I'm fully convinced that we've got the people in this family to do that. We've got the leaders in this family to do it. We've got a dedicated staff to do it. We've got great chapter leaders. We've got, you know, our partners that have stuck by us thinner, through thick or thin. You know, you mentioned COVID. Every one of our partners, every one of them stuck with us through that time. And we ended up with an 89% retention rate. Why? Because we pivoted and we provided the members, we provided them with, you know, COVID Relief Center. We provided them with resources. We taught them how to go get a PPP. So we became a valuable resource to them. And that's what an association does when it has to pivot. So I'm really excited about where we're going in the next 3 to 5 years. I think we've got a great launch pad. And I think we're going to just together, we're going to be able to move the association forward.
That's great stuff, Mark. Listen, I really appreciate the time today. I think we're drawn to a close a little bit. Any last thoughts or other comments you got you'd like to throw in there?
Well, I'm just going to say, to the people that watch this, please reach out to me. My door is open. My phone is on. I'm available to talk to you. I really want to get out and do that listening and learning tour. So I'm going to try to get out as much as I possibly can around the country and just talk to people in person. Joel, I'm looking forward to my first opportunity to do that is down in North Carolina.
Oh, that's right.
I'm looking forward to coming down to your state meeting.
You will probably, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we will have some kind of ice cream and we'll have barbecue. So just go ahead and get ready. Okay. And
I'm down with that. Down with that. But I'm looking forward to that. I think that's a great way for me to kick off my tour is to come to your state and to talk about the vision that you and the leadership have for this association. So I'm really excited about that. And then of course, all the other trips that I'm sure that'll come after that. It's going to be a fun ride.
Well, we can't wait. And Mark, listen, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
As a representative now of everybody across the country in our association, we welcome you aboard. We're thrilled and looking forward to a bright future. And I really appreciate you being the first guinea pig on this podcast. Hopefully we hit the record button earlier. Amy says we have. So listen, I really appreciate it. And I think that's it for us today. But listen, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please spread the word if you can about the podcast. And please don't hesitate to contact us here at podcast@phccrocks.com. We are always looking for suggestions for future podcasts, topics, and guests. And you can find the podcast and subscribe at the website, phccrocks.com. And please follow us on our social media platforms. You can also find us and subscribe and rate the podcast on most podcast services such as Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google. Thanks again to Mark from PHCC National for being a guest today. You're the best guest we've ever had, Mark.
And you'll never be able to say that to anybody else.
That's exactly right. Next time I'm going to say you're the second best guest we've ever had. So that's perfect. But listen, PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King with GSM Services and Charlotte Parham from PHCC National, edited by PHCC National. I'm your host, Joel Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us for a while. And please keep coming back to hear more reasons why PHCC Rocks. Have a great day.